Welcome to the Agency in Focus, NASA, sponsored by Leidos. Now, here's your host, Tom Temin.
NASA is preparing for the next generation of exploration with the James Webb Space Telescope and missions to the moon and beyond. It's also updating its information technology infrastructure to keep up. I spoke with Chief Information Officer Renee Wynn and Associate CIO Mike Witt, who heads up cybersecurity for NASA. In part one of the interview, they explain a technology issue unique to NASA.
For NASA, there's a certain amount of IT that cannot be modernized because it's still flying an asset, such as Voyager 1 and 2. And you cannot remove satellites, give them a new operating system, and send them back out there. So what we do is we do our best to protect those assets, given the conditions and the importance of bringing back science data and giving out to the public very quickly. The rest of the ecosystem at NASA that we don't that we do need to consider and work in a sustainable manner. What we did at NASA, the beginning about 2014, conducted what was called a business services assessment for IT. And this is where NASA realized that IT needed to be treated such as a strategic resource. And along came FITARA during that time, the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, and the two efforts were blended. And we used this opportunity to strengthen the CIO's authority and work on some issues that really needed to happen here at the agency, such as beginning to reduce the number of contracts with desktop-type services, to look at IT and have the CIO with greater involvement in even the mission projects, and as you pointed out, because of the cybersecurity concerns, and put things like IT on a path towards a sustainable model. And for the last 3 years, that's what we've been working on, and that's how we've approached it. And what we do is take a look at the risks that IT pose and either accept the risk or put other technical controls in place until we have the resources or the time, because you have to have excellent project managers to bring in new IT into any ecosystem. I just want to point out that NASA's ecosystem is rather complex because we do serve humans, not on this planet, up on the space station, and they do have operating systems up there that we do have to maintain. And so what we've done is we've taken an approach that takes a look at contracts, takes a look at our culture, takes a look at our governance processes and the way we spend our money. And we have been working for the last 3 years, and some of the things have come to fruition, and we've got some real success, but we still have a long ways to go in terms of achieving a new operating model as well as a better cybersecurity posture.
And Mike, let me ask you then, what are some of the cybersecurity initiatives going specifically as NASA moves toward this new modernized model that it's partway there so far?
No, Tom, and that's a good question. I mean, some of the things that Renee kind of just touched on there is, you know, security has to be cross-functional partnership. You know, it's not a roadblock, right? When we start talking about with our organizations to support the mission and the business needs here at NASA, you know, transition to an agile production and with embedded security within the software development cycle is really one of the key things that we're really trying to make sure that we have that. We're also promoting technology innovation, but without compromising security. So again, NASA, when you think NASA, you think innovation, and we want to make sure that we kind of talk about and address any of those security concerns up front, as opposed to trying to bolt them on, you know, farther down through the process. NASA also has got a unique information security challenge, right? We've got to balance open access and sharing with the scientific research community. That community is around the world. They're in foreign countries and stuff, right? So we've got to do that balance from that standpoint. We've also got to support in-flight missions from cradle to grave, and Renee kind of touched that. You know, regardless of the year that they're launched, we've got to be able to support that, and that causes some unique challenges from that. So that basically means we've got to start partnering with our mission folks, with the legacy system users to understand what IT requirements they have that they're currently supporting from, systems that may still be flying, and how do we basically understand threats that may exist today and remediate those threats around that so those missions can continue to exist going forward. And then finally, the real goal out of this is to enable our users to work successfully and securely. That's really what it is. We don't want to be a roadblock as we move forward.
We're speaking with Mike Witt. He's Associate CIO for Cybersecurity and Privacy, and Renee Nguyen is the CIO at NASA. And I want to explore that a little bit more, the assets that are in space, because that is clearly something unique, almost unique to NASA. I guess the Air Force also has things. But yes, they are up there, and they're there for sometimes decades doing work and sending back data many years after they're launched. So is the general approach to protecting those assets to increase the protection of the control assets on the ground? Because ultimately, they are connected somehow to the systems that are on the ground that you can modernize, if I've got that right.
Tom, you're exactly right. So when an asset leaves, it's basically what we could do at the time that we knew as far as the protections around that. And we basically have a thorough process that we go through to make sure that we've addressed all of those threats that we know about and have planned for future standpoint or whatever. So when it comes to modernization, the ground control systems and the support systems around that, we work to modernize. If those ground systems cannot be modernized because they're supporting the legacy systems and they too must stay legacy, if you will, then we have to put some compensating controls wrapped around those ground systems to protect them. But if we can modernization those systems, then we actually work with the missions to do so around that. But each one is a case-by-case basis around it because, again, we've got things that are flying that are not too old, and then we've got things flying that are pretty old, and the ground infrastructure supporting those have to stay at that current version as well.
Yeah, so at some point, all of that does interact with NASA's main network, right? So that seems to be the layer at which you would be able to improve cybersecurity, since you can't really change some of the operational systems that, as you say, are there for many years ago.
That's correct. So we basically have a defense in depth approach as far as separating our networks away and have various enclaves about who can basically enter those enclaves as far as connectivity and what is allowed to go in and out of those, and then basically make sure that it's protected from the rest of our, I'll call it, corporate network from that standpoint.
And let's move on to the Security Operations Center 2.0 and what's going on there and what's the goal there and where are you between, the 2B state and where you started?
So what we're doing with the Security Operations Center is we're basically looking at we're taking a baseline of where we are today and where we want to move to. And it's looking at all aspects of the Security Operations Center. Everything, if you will, is on the table as far as what technologies that we have, what technologies that we want to go. But we're not trying to make sure that we're not married to a specific product, if you will. It's we're trying to look at what is it we need to have in place, whether it's down to data or actual capabilities. And we're not trying to marry those to a very specific product, if you will, so that we can basically then build to this is what we need to do from a SOC, if you will, 2.0 perspective, so that we can monitor and triage and manage and respond to anything that we see on NASA's network, in-client system, or even on the mission side from that standpoint that some of our adversaries may be trying to do to our network.
And in this model, is the SOC a physical place, or is it really a virtual functionality that people can access from any computer?
So it's a combination of both. We have a combination of physical places, but we're actually making sure that we're not tied to that from the standpoint of being able to do the job. So we have incident responders that are spread across NASA to basically respond to any incident that we may have. They don't have to be, I'll say, sitting in a physical SOC location at our 24/7 ops.
And Mike, with all your experience at the Defense Department CERT, DHS CERT, IRS, you have seen the underbelly of cybersecurity pretty close up over your career. Do you sleep better at night nowadays than maybe 10 years ago?
You know what? I think it's cybersecurity is ever changing, so the threats are always there. I will tell you, I'm having fun, right? And the reason of this is the challenge that's over here. NASA, I think, is a dream of all kids as you're growing up to work here, and this was certainly one of my dreams. And so coming at NASA brings its richness of working with our missions and the importance that we're doing here. But, yeah, I sleep good at night only because I'm living the dream that I have, and I actually love coming to work every morning from that. But, again, it's the challenges that we have here because it's very unique from a DOD experience, from a Homeland experience, and from an Internal Revenue Service experience, right? Again, one thing here is NASA takes risks, right? When I worked in Internal Revenue Service, that's a different thing. That's a financial institution. You know, the risk posture there is a lot different from that standpoint because of the data that they hold on taxpayer information and, you know, financial information from that. Here, NASA is about taking risks. We're going to take risks, right? But we have to balance that and understand what those risks are so that we can choose and accept them wisely. And that's kind of what I've got to do for Renee and the others here is make sure that we understand what those risks that are that we're taking on so that they can make the wise decisions of whether or not they're willing to accept.
That's Associate CIO and Cybersecurity Chief Mike Witt. You also heard CIO Renee Wynn of NASA. In part two of the interview, Wynn and Witt describe how they've upgraded IT services and cybersecurity for NASA's employees. I'm Tom Tamman.
This year, NASA celebrates its 60th anniversary. That's six decades of important work and reaching new heights.
And we have liftoff.
At Leidos, the team of IT experts, engineers, and scientists that support NASA are exceptionally honored to enable more missions for the offices and directorates that come together to conduct deep space exploration, advance human spaceflight, and encourage the world to think beyond the horizon. See a message from the team at Leidos.com/NASA.
NASA, like many large federal agencies, has had its share of cybersecurity problems. In part two of my interview, CIO Renee Wynn and Associate CIO Mike Witt, the cyber chief, explain how they're working to improve cyber and the service they deliver to end users.
Well, NASA's overall cybersecurity posture has been improving considerably, and I attribute that to Mike's leadership. He's been with us for just over a year and has really worked in partnership across the agency. And so when you introduce, and I'm looking first, I'm sharing with you first, giving the global picture, because the addition of a laptop is just to your entire posture. And you do need it to protect as well. So the agency has been working with Now Perspective very closely for about 3 years to do a number of things with regard to our desktop services and mobile device services. One is we've taken a look at the cybersecurity posture. Secondly, we took a look at service excellence, and we've outlined a number of steps that were necessary to be taken to improve the level of service, improve the partnership. So NASA had some responsibility in where we got in this area, and then certainly to modernize some of the tools that we were using to manage IT. And I'm happy to say that Perspecta has been an excellent partner. Both organizations changed over some members of that team, and the team is operating as a high-performing team, as I would say, a public-private partnership. And we've been getting some innovative thoughts and good data sharing as well as improved cybersecurity with Perspecta and my team here at NASA.
Yes, there's been some corporate changes in the meantime, acquisitions and renamings and combinations, and so you can still trace the thread through to the people you originally signed up with?
Yes, that's exactly right. Every CIO should trace the mergers and acquisitions that are going on in the IT world, and I certainly do as well. I was fortunate, or NASA was fortunate in all of this. Our project manager has remained the same for us, and our lead up until recently was exactly the same. And when HPE became DXC, a new individual was added at the executive level. And so we started our relationship then. And so when DXC became Perspecta through the merger and acquisition process, for me, it was all the same people that I was working with. And for my team, for my program executive for end user support, also the individual that we worked with was the same. So we were very fortunate, as you sort of allude to in your question. These transitions can be very challenging. One, because when you disturb the individuals that you're hired to do the work, it is hard for them to focus. But fortunately, the teams have stayed pretty steady or stable here that are working with NASA. So I'm pleased with how we got through that change because it could have been pretty tumultuous. And I got to say, it was incredibly smooth.
I guess it's good there's only 26 letters in the alphabet, or it would really get confusing beyond that.
We'd like to think as NASA being the more important one.
That's right. And I guess they understood that, too, by keeping those people with some continuity for you there. And with respect to cloud computing, I know NASA has had a long history there in the last number of years with brokering, both for NASA and maybe related agencies under Ames. Tell us, give us the update there.
Yes, I'm very excited about we're growing our cloud, smart cloud use and that capability. Our lead, our program exec for cloud computing and data centers, because it's computing, has been working very closely with our science mission on introducing the cloud concepts, what is the cloud capability that they need, and they're working on a multi-year strategy and plan, and they've begun to execute that. So we are continuing to grow our use and looking to it as the future. A lot of our scientific data in particular, once it comes back through the clouds, back to terra firma, what we try to do is get that out, the high quality data, get that out to the public or to our scientists that are our partners as quickly as we possibly can. This also includes some foreign partners in our space agencies located in France and Japan, Germany, and in other places. So the data moves very quickly, and the cloud offers us that opportunity and to preserve and protect the data. We're also taking a look at high-end computing and seeing where we can have cloud computing capabilities to support them, whether it be surge capability when we've got a big job that needs to come through, or whether we reconfigure our queue to use high-performance computing. And that is very much in its nascent stages, but NASA really does understand and embrace the use of cloud, and we do take a very careful approach before we start putting our data in it to make sure that the cybersecurity is up to federal standards. We want to ensure that it's easy for the public to get in and to access our information, because that's what NASA is about. And then finally, we also have to protect the how we spend public money. And so sometimes the cloud computing might not be quite as inexpensive because we have data centers already. It's a little lower cost because we maintain them. And so we do balance out the use of those. But I can tell you that we are definitely growing our cloud use here at NASA.
Renee Wynn is Chief Information Officer at NASA. Mike Witt is Associate CIO for Cybersecurity and Privacy. I'm Tom Tamman.
This year, NASA celebrates its 60th anniversary. That's six decades of important work and reaching new heights.
And we have liftoff.
At Leidos, the team of IT experts, engineers, and scientists that support NASA are exceptionally honored to enable more missions for the offices and directorates that come together to conduct deep space exploration, advance human spaceflight, and encourage the world to think beyond the horizon. See a message from the team at Leidos.com/NASA.
We're speaking with Renee Wynn. She's the CIO, and with Mike Witt, the Associate CIO for Cybersecurity and Privacy at NASA. And Mike, let me ask you about cloud data center hybrid environments have changed cybersecurity for just about every federal agency, and even the use of some of the tools from DHS, which are really geared to the data center era and not so much to the hybrid cloud era. What are you doing to make sure that there's some kind of a cogent cybersecurity posture for the hybrid environment, especially to protect that data, which, you know, is used by researchers all over the world?
Well, no, that's a really good question, because one thing that we've done is, because NASA is really living in the cloud for such a long time, especially with the volumes of data that we're bringing down, I'll call it the science that we're bringing down from out of the sky, we basically need the robustness of the cloud to basically serve that out to our researchers around the world so that they can basically, you know, discover the next new thing, if you will. We've actually got a really good relationship with the Department of Homeland Security, where we've been working with them and various cloud providers in pushing, I'll call it, the next boundary of the trusted internet connection, because the way that as we know it today, the TIC is designed today is really more of the legacy, the way that networks were designed, and it wasn't really designed to support the cloud environment. So as we work with them and the various cloud providers, we're basically trying to make sure that we can move in the future to have a better TIC design that allows us to utilize the cloud environment to its full robustness to support our users and our mission sides here.
If I could add to that too, because Mike is absolutely right. The other element of addressing the trusted internet connection and is looking at authentication to the cloud as well as to any tools that are within a network. What we want to do is also strive for a very positive mobile experience, whether they're the NASA employees and our contractors, or if it is the public accessing our data. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in this area, and there's a lot of opportunity to be had in this area.
And then I wanted to talk about just basic legacy systems modernization and the reduction of stovepipes that have characterized NASA because of the growth of the individual launch and research centers. Recently, I spoke with a NASA program manager who says, gosh, things have gotten a lot better. He says, I can go anywhere to any center in NASA, and with my laptop, it's like I'm in my office. And that sounded like progress to me. You want to talk about that for a moment?
Yes, it is great progress. It's funny being a CIO, as much as we get to do some heady things in strategic direction and head towards the cloud and look at cyber threats that are all quite interesting, our bread and butter opportunity is always to serve with excellence from the desktop unit as well as to the mobile device experience. And so we embarked on ensuring, and this was also with Perspecta, ensuring that the experience was very, very positive. And one of those things, as the individual talked about, is the ability to be at any NASA center and to open your laptop and get to inside the network. But also that meant that if it wasn't appropriate for you to be on the NASA network, but let's say you came in and needed the internet because you're meeting with me, we've also strengthened the access to our guest networks. Since this is how we are judged, this is how we focused for the first couple of years that I was here, and certainly with the assistance of Mike Witt. We're continuing to move up that stack, and we'll be taking a look at how we share data from the Continuous Diagnostic Mitigation Program, because there's a lot of operational data embedded in the what comes off of the CDM tools. We want to take a look at how our help desk tickets can help us improve our user experience. And then finally, what we want to do is marry up our SOC tickets to, again, see what information in there could help us with operational excellence as well as cybersecurity excellence.
Renee Wynn is Chief Information Officer at NASA. Mike Witt is Associate CIO for Cybersecurity and Privacy. There's much more to the interview. We'll post it in its entirety at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus NASA, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency in Focus.
This year, NASA celebrates its 60th anniversary. That's six decades of important work and reaching new heights.
And we have liftoff.
At Leidos, the team of IT experts, engineers, and scientists that support NASA are exceptionally honored to enable more missions for the offices and directorates that come together to conduct deep space exploration, advance human spaceflight, and encourage the world to think beyond the horizon. See a message from the team at Leidos.com/NASA.